I invite you to stand if you are able for our reading of our Holy Scripture. Today it is found in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 9. Jesus told this parable to certain people who had convinced themselves that they were righteous and who looked down on everyone else with disgust. Two people went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed about himself with these words, "God, I thank you that I'm not like everyone else, crooks, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I receive." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to look up toward heaven. Rather, he struck his chest and said, "Oh God, show mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this person went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. All who lift themselves up will be brought low, and those who make themselves low will be lifted up." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, the parable begins with a really simple observation. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Now, in itself, that doesn't really say a whole lot. It doesn't seem important. I mean, after all, people went to the temple all the time to pray. It was open, and they would go and say their prayers, sometimes during formal prayer time, sometimes just to be there. But these two men, well, what sets them apart from all the rest who were filling the temple was that they were nothing alike. Where they lived, how they lived, their politics, the way they approached God. It was as different as night and day. We're told that one of them was a Pharisee. Now, most of us have been taught that the Pharisees were anything but the good guys. And the truth is, for the most part, the Pharisees were actually the religious people that people looked up to. The common folk loved the Pharisees. You see, they were the ones that made certain that regardless of somebody's lot in life, their status, or where they lived, they made certain that the laws were equal. That everyone saw justice. And when the people had a question or a concern, it was the Pharisees that they would go to. And yes, it was the Pharisees who made certain that, well, those who were somewhat destitute, like widows and orphans, received what they needed in order to survive. But the man in the parable? Well, he wasn't just any Pharisee. He was head and shoulders above all the rest. I mean, he wasn't content simply to fulfill the law. He went over and above the law. The law said that the people had to fast occasionally during the year. There was one mandatory fasting and five minor fastings. But this man didn't fast just occasionally. He fasted twice a week. And yes, the expectation was that everyone would give a tithe, a 10% to the temple, so the temple could remain open and mostly so people could be served. But according to what he says in his prayer, he didn't just give 10% of what he earned. He gave 10% of everything he possessed. He gave 10% based on the value of his home, his livestock, his land, and any gift he happened to receive during the year. He was right. He wasn't like everyone else. He was telling the truth. As for the tax collector, well, He was the exact opposite of the Pharisee. Talk about a complete failure at keeping the law. As a tax collector, he was so corrupt the temple didn't even want his money. They really didn't care if he was there. And as for admiring him or seeking his advice, forget it. No one, not even his closest neighbor and perhaps even the members of his own family, wanted anything to do with him. As far as they were concerned, he was absolutely no good. And rightly so. Because you see, he made his living on the backs of them. It was their hard labor that made him rich. And he made certain that in the process of taxing them, that none of them were going to get ahead. None of them were going to improve their lot in life. As far as they were concerned, that tax collector was a thief, a robber, a sellout to Rome. But it wasn't just the way they lived that set these two men apart. It was the way they approached God, the way they worshiped and chose to give thanks. We're told that both men went into the temple, and it appears as though they both stood off somewhat by themselves. But that's where their similarities ended. The tax collector, he stood off in a corner. He wouldn't even look up. All he would do was beat his breast and cry out, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me." The Pharisee? Well, the Pharisee's prayer was one long reminder of just how holy and how righteous he really was. As Reverend Cynthia Hale once wrote, I quote, "The difference between the two men is not so much about the words they spoke as what their words said about what was in their hearts and their attitudes toward God and toward humans." The Pharisee was all about himself. Nowhere in his prayer does he lift up anyone but himself. Actually, that's not true. He did lift up people. Listening to him, one would have thought that he was surrounded by every riffraff and no good that lived in Jerusalem. Quoting the Reverend Hale again, in his estimation, these people were not on his level. They were sinners. He was righteous. He kept every jot of the law. He dotted every I, crossed every T spiritually. He even went above and beyond what was required. But his prayer has nothing to do with gratitude to God. It was self-congratulating. He wanted God to know just how good he was. You want to talk about being arrogant, conceited, self-centered? His prayer was all about him. Take out your Bibles. Count how many times that man uses the personal pronoun I. If that's not telling enough, tell me, where in his prayer does he thank God for the blessings that were his? He didn't. I mean, why should he? To hear him, he'd done it all himself. What God needed to do was stand back and admire him. Remembering, of course, that he wasn't like all the rest. than there was the tax collector. He was just the opposite. The only words he had was, "Please, Lord, have mercy on me." Unlike the Pharisee, who couldn't admit that he'd ever done anything wrong, the tax collector couldn't believe he'd ever done anything right. He felt totally alone. He was lost. He knew that the only way he was going to be able to change his life is if God intervened, if God took control. He knew that God was his only hope. Where the Pharisee lacked humility, the tax collector was humble. And in his humbleness, he was able to ask for God's mercy. He was able to ask for forgiveness and guidance. You know, all of this, it leads me to wonder. When we pray corporately as the church universal, and when we pray individually, are we the Pharisee or the tax collector? Are our prayers all about us? What we want, what we need? Or do we take the time to express our love and appreciation for all that God has already done? When we pray, do we confess our faults, ask for forgiveness? When we look around, do we ask God what we could do to help change things? And maybe we don't start with all the other people, we start with ourselves. Or are we more likely to be the Pharisee? When we pray, do we point out the shortcomings to everyone who really irritates us? When someone has wronged us, are we more willing to ask God for retribution rather than redemption? When was the last time we asked God to open our eyes so we could see all those others the way God does? So we could begin to understand why they behave in the way they do. Why they reacted to us in such a negative or hurtful way. Do we pray for the others? Or do we pray for ourselves and against the others? You know, when I was growing up, my mother was a compassionate woman, an understanding woman, but there was one thing that she would not tolerate. You did not tattle. If someone was doing something that was really wrong or dangerous, you were to tell her. But if you were just tattling because they happened to be doing something you didn't like, and or perhaps it was something that you just weren't doing at the moment, but you would have liked to have, my mother would, she would get that, you know, that mother look, the one that'll freeze water. And let me tell you, she had the look. And then she would say, "When you are pointing your finger at someone else, there are three fingers pointing back at you." And we knew in that moment to be quiet. She was teaching us the gift of humility. She was teaching us that despite what the other people were doing, despite what they were saying, there's always enough pointing back at us that we shouldn't be the ones complaining. When you point your finger at someone else, there are three fingers pointing back at you. Well, friends, we live in a society that often thinks of humility as a weakness. We're taught that it's something to avoid rather than a virtue worth developing. You know, even among those who profess to be followers of the Prince of Peace, there tends to be more finger-pointing and accusations than listening and understanding. We have been taught that it's more important to be right than to be just, to look out after number one, and never compromise unless it benefits us. You know, the truth is that the more self-absorbed and self-centered we become, the more unhappy and ungrateful we become too. We need to understand that there's really a certain freedom when you can finally admit that you're not self-made, you're not self-sufficient, you're not self-reliant. There is a freedom in saying, oh, please, Lord, help me. There's a freedom of being able to turn to somebody else and say, you know, I don't get it. But maybe together we can work it out. There is a freedom in being humble and not always having to be number one, and not always being the one in control. Not being the one who is totally responsible for your own life. It is freeing to know that God in the heavens is there, ready to reach out and to help. That is the freedom the tax collector experienced when he cried out to God, when he asked for forgiveness and for help. And Jesus tells us he was the one who went home justified. He was the one whose life was made whole. And the same will be true for you and for me too, when we humble ourselves before God. What a blessing to know that he listens. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen. Amen.